Okay, welcome to the call, everybody. This is Nathan Anderson. I'm the man behind MetaWebs and the new-to-be-launched RipToIt.com. I'm here to interview, along with Brian Bash, another internet marketer and very successful website publisher, here to interview Kurt Christensen about the latest AdWords system that he has developed that is really revolutionary and groundbreaking when it comes to scientific marketing and scientific use of the search engines and products and online selling of digital products. And I just wanted to get a pretty quick overview of the entire system as you're using it and see if we can't get the pieces together in place and kind of get an overall picture of how this whole thing works, because I'm absolutely fascinated by the system and the fact that really there is no competition out there for this level of sophistication with this level of ease. So Kurt Christensen, why don't you take it away and just start with an introduction to the entire concept that we're talking about here.
Okay, great. Thanks, Nathan, and thanks, Brian. Thank you guys for taking the time to, you know, write down your questions on AdWords, and we'll go over this in kind of an outline and overview format. So those of you listening in at home, if we only cover something a little bit or mention something off the cuff, don't worry. There'll be more detailed videos or more detailed information about everything that we cover. This is just meant to be a grand overview of the grand scheme of things, what we're talking about when it comes to AdWords and pay-per-click marketing on the Internet. Well, basically, you know, to kind of give you the history of it, I started marketing with the pay-per-click search engines back in 1997, back when it was GoTo.com, which then became Overture.com, which is now Yahoo Search Marketing. And you may ask, okay, well, so what was I selling way back in 1997 on the Internet through pay-per-click advertising? Well, quite simply, I had a magazine subscription business where we sold, 600 or 700 different general public magazine subscriptions, everything from Sports Illustrated to U.S. News and World Report. So back then, it was incredibly easy to make money with the pay-per-click search engines, because back then it was just Overture or GoTo, and the minimum bids were 1 cent per keyword. So I quickly found out that the easiest way to make money on the pay-per-click search engines wasn't to advertise under magazine subscription or magazine subscriptions or, you know, subscribe to magazines. I quickly found out that the best way to make good money on an ongoing basis with my magazine subscription business was to simply advertise all the names of the magazines plus all the names of the magazines with the word magazine at the end. So my entire keyword list was Sports Illustrated Magazine, Time Magazine, you know, and on down the list. And back then, since we only had to pay 1 cent per click, it was incredibly profitable, even though, you know, there wasn't that much traffic way back in 97. I mean, traffic probably on the Internet is gone up by tenfold since then. But that takes us all the way back to the beginning. What advertising on AdWords and advertising on the pay-per-click search engines basically boils down to, if you have a good website, you can afford to pay for traffic. If you have a good niche, you can afford to pay for traffic. If you have a good product, you can afford to pay for traffic. A lot of times you'll hear people talking about, oh, well, I tried Google AdWords and I couldn't make it work. And when you look at their website, you can understand why, simply because they're, you know, typically selling a product that was not in much demand. You know, there's no relevant keywords for it. Or they did a poor job of selling that product once they got visitors to that page. So when you advertise on the pay-per-click search engines and AdWords, you kind of have a twofold approach. On the one side, you have to be able to manage your AdWords account and be able to buy the traffic and write ads and get people to click. But really, the baseline result, the thing that you're going to have to always keep on the top of your mind is, what am I doing to convert that traffic into a sale or into some kind of money?
So excuse me for interrupting, Kurt, but the traffic way back when, you know, 9 years ago was 1 cent or 2 cents a click. I mean, what are we talking about these days?
Well, now it depends on the niche. Now, if you go into hyper competitive niches, say internet marketing or MLM or life insurance or car insurance. Now, some of those clicks are going to be upwards of $1 per click for the main root keywords. However, there's a whole concept that that we cover in Google AdWords called long tail and short tail. And it just basically comes from, I believe it was a gentleman that wrote for Wired magazine a couple years ago, figured out this phenomenon, which isn't anything new. He just put a name on it, that if you look at the normal distribution curve or the normal bell curve, most people and most advertisers and most businesses concentrate on the major keywords under that bell curve. For example, in life insurance is going to be terms like life insurance or buy life insurance. While it's usually much more profitable to concentrate on what the Wired editor called the short tail, or terms kind of on the outside, which don't get nearly the amount of searches, obviously, but they're much more targeted and much more likely to result in a sale, or you know, someone filling out a form on your website or something to that effect. So
yeah, he made that into an entire book that has been out for a little while now called The Long Tail. It's Chris Anderson. I just read it. It's really great.
Yeah.
I might interject that. But yeah, but that most searches out there are actually in terms that are less searched, but there's so many of them that all of them added up together equal a lot of traffic.
Exactly. And that traffic is much more likely to buy. So, you know, people come to me all the time and say, well, you know, I want to sell, you know, I want to sell life insurance. I want to sell car leads. Well, that is possible. Just because a keyword area is very expensive doesn't always mean that it's impossible. It usually just means that there's a lot of potential to make money in that niche. Something like life insurance, obviously, the reason that they're willing to pay so much per click is, in most cases, they have an efficient processing machine for that traffic. Once the traffic gets to the website, gets sifted and sorted and turned into cash in some way. But in most niches, where we're talking about, you know, a niche, I guess you could define as something that gets less than, say, 50,000 searches a month worldwide. But in most niches, you're still able to buy traffic on AdWords in the 10-cent price range. Now, that's going to vary depending on a lot of different things that we'll, you know, talk about on this call. But you're typically looking at somewhere in the 10-cent price range, which for a lot of people is, you know, is they think about that and they think, well, wait a second, that means I have to pay, you know, $10 to get 1,000 visitors. Well, that's the flip side. If your website isn't able to turn 1,000 visitors somehow into $10, well, then you need to fix that before you start spending big money on AdWords.
Right. So you make the spend profitable, and then you can drop a whole bunch of money into advertising, and you know you'll get a return.
Exactly. You know, because one of the greatest things about paying for traffic through Google AdWords is that you can almost buy as much traffic as you want in certain niches. You're going to be able to buy traffic, and you're going to get more and more efficient at buying this traffic at using AdWords, and over time, your costs are going to go down, down, and down. Also, over time, hopefully, you spend more time on your website, and your website is going to turn into a better machine for converting that traffic into cash.
Okay.
So the grand overview is that works on AdWords is there's many different models. I'll throw out a couple different models. And I'll, you know, tell you some examples of things that I do in each model, or things that work on AdWords. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay, typically, the first barrier that a lot of people have is they try to promote a product that has no keywords. For example, if you're an inventor and you come up with some way to do something in a different or better fashion, but there's nobody searches for that, you're going to have a hard time on AdWords. Or, frankly, a lot of internet marketing products have a hard time on AdWords, or MLM products, simply because, you know, if you develop some internet marketing tactic for getting traffic by, you know, some obscure method, that's great, and that's probably very, very useful for your business, but the chances are very low that you'll be able to sell that on AdWords simply because nobody goes into Google and types in those specific keywords. As opposed to things that are evergreen, business products that are evergreen, that people are always looking for, always searching for. We have a good friend, David Fry, who, for example, sells a system for business owners who want to generate more referrals. Okay? If you look up referral marketing or how do I get more referrals or any of those keywords, you're going to notice that there's quite a substantial portion of people on a monthly basis that type that into all of the search engines worldwide and especially Google. Why is that valuable? Simply because that's a never-ending stream of people who are in sales, small business owners, people who are in MLM or various types of consultants. They're all searching for an answer to a problem. So simply put, if your product solves a problem that people are actually searching on, you're going to be able to buy the traffic in a very inexpensive manner. So let's kind of go through some examples. The first model, that, like we talked about, is the simple ebook model, where you find out a problem that people have, and you either create or write or have ghostwritten or in some way come up with a product or an ebook, a downloadable book or something. I would call the ebook model anything that's a sale under $100. For example, there's hundreds of thousands of searches a month for phrases like spider bites or bronchitis or strep throat. So one of the things that we've done is we've created different information products and this, ebooks in those particular markets and sell them day in and day out to people all over the world who go into Google and type in how do I cure bronchitis or how do I get rid of strep throat or do I have a venomous spider bite, things like that. So the ebook model is one model. That's a very popular model. A lot of people worldwide have been using the ebook model for quite a while now. It's the huge benefit of it is the low cost of entry. You can do all the research and write the ebook and do all that stuff for yourself on the first couple, and it's very expandable. The downside is it's a front-end model. You're buying the traffic, and either it converts into an ebook sale or it doesn't. And typically, and isn't as well covered. You don't have follow-up products that people who bought that ebook. So that's the first model. The second model would be the lead generation model. That's the model where all you're really trying to do is you're buying traffic from AdWords and you're sending it to a lead capture page or an opt-in page where you're either trying to give them a product for free or something extremely low cost with the hopes of that you can follow up with them by phone or email or any other manner and convert those into sales. For example, I have a client that does this in the real estate investment industry. He has a list of about 15,000 real estate investors that he's generated through AdWords, and his entire model is every week he does a free teleseminar and announces that to the list. Well, on the teleseminar, at the end of the teleseminar, they sell a product. Pretty simple model, pretty innocuous. It doesn't seem like, how sophisticated is that? But from that simple model, he is now generating over $80,000 a month in sales just from running Google AdWords ads, getting people to click on his ad, they come to his site, they opt in to be on his email newsletter. He sends them email every week asking them to join these free telecalls. Once people get on the telecalls, end of the call, they upsell them into a real estate investing program of some sort.
I have two questions on that model.
Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, I've heard from several people that were using that sort of a method that squeeze pages or very simple opt-in pages were being targeted by Google AdWords for rate hikes. Like they were suddenly going from 10 cents a click up to $2 a click because they didn't like to see AdWords leading directly into a squeeze page. Is that true?
Yes and no. You mentioned a couple things in there, a couple things combined together. What has happened is in last July and also a couple weeks ago here in October, November, Google implemented some changes where they are now, when you run a Google AdWords ad, not only does Google take into consideration how many clicks your ad is getting and things like that when they come up with their mysterious, what they call the quality score, which they don't release to you, but they use it internally in AdWords to rank where how many times your ad is going to show up and things like that. But they started taking into that quality score how good, quote-unquote, your landing page was. Now, originally when this came out in July, the only real thing that was obvious was that Google was trying to get rid of what's called arbitrage sites. Those were sites that were set up with no other purpose than to get really cheap AdWords traffic. They were trying to get clicks for 5 cents in most cases. And then they were sending that traffic to a page that the only thing on that page was AdSense ads. So if the only thing on the page is AdSense ads, they're going to get a relatively high click-through rate, and people were trying to make money in that fashion, buying the traffic at one rate and then sending those clicks all to one page, hoping to get enough people to click on an AdSense ad that paid out much higher than 5 cents in order to make money. So Google started targeting those type of sites, and what Google found out about those type of sites, they were usually just one page. There was no other links on the page. The advertiser bought the traffic and sent it to a page with AdSense ads. So Google started saying in their Google Slap, quote unquote, that if you were sending traffic to a one-page site, you're going to have to pay more money. Now, were they specifically targeting opt-in pages and name squeeze pages or lead capture pages? We don't really know that per se, but we do know that the simplest way to put it, the simplest way to get around those higher click prices is to make sure you send your traffic to a website, not a web page. As in, make sure that there's other pages that are linked to from the page that you send traffic to. When that whole Google Slap went down, people were, talking about it like it was the end of the world. In my case, I had a couple of keywords that increased from 10 cents to 15 cents, and that was about it. Now, most of my sites were one-page sites. Granted, they were long sales letter model sites selling an ebook, but I really didn't see any effect at all. So the easiest way to make sure that doesn't happen is to always, before you set up an AdWords ad, before you send it to your traffic, start sending the traffic, make sure that there's several different links on the page that you're sending that traffic to. It can be to an About Us page. It can be to a Contact Us page. It can be to a Resources page. Any number of things. You're just trying to show Google, hey, I have a real website here. I didn't just slap up this one page. And in most cases, that will take care of 95% of the issues.
Okay, good. And the only other question I have with that model is how difficult is it to track conversion when you're doing two steps like that?
Yeah, okay. Now, when you're talking about conversion tracking, there is a fantastic resource that we found has been dramatically underused inside of every single Google AdWords account under the sun. Once you sign up for Google AdWords, which is a free process, you just go to adwords.google.com, sign up for an account. For those of us who are foreign listeners, you'll have different options. You'll have the option to have the account designated in your local currency or in U.S. dollars. In most cases, I would recommend you to designate it in U.S. dollars. It's just going to make it much more simpler for tracking things, figuring out how much money you're making, where you're losing money, because most of the time you're going to be selling your products and services online in U.S. dollars as well. So it takes one step of the math away from you as well and makes it a lot easier. Okay, so but once you have your AdWords account set up, there's a thing inside of AdWords called conversion tracking. And all conversion tracking does is tell you how much it's costing you to get something to happen. Like in the ebook model, what I want to have happen is I want to have somebody purchase my ebook, right? So once I set up conversion tracking, it's just a little bit of HTML code that you put on the results page or the thank you page. So in my case, for every ebook I sell, there's a thank you page or a download page. And all I had to do to set up conversion tracking is to go into that thank you page and paste in this little bit of code. Now, Google can tell me almost to the penny exactly how much it's costing me to make a sale. Now, in the lead model, it's going to be a little bit different because you're generating leads and you're going to be sending offers to them in various formats. Typically, what we do in the lead format is we figure out how much it would be acceptable for us to spend to generate a lead. For example, with that real estate investor example, we figured out that it's very, very profitable to spend up to $1 to $2 to get somebody to opt into our email list. Now, that's assuming it's the same level of quality as before, and all those other qualifications are met. So what we do is we set up conversion tracking. We do it exactly the same way, but we put that little piece of code on the page that says, hey, thank you for opting into our list. And then Google will go in and update our calculations and tell us every day, to the penny, how much it's costing us to generate a single lead. And we can adjust our bids and our campaigns based on that. Okay, so those are two of the most important models. We have the ebook model. We have the opt-in model, which has various permutations. A third model that's used with fantastic success on the internet is a kind of a hybrid model where you sell a low-priced product in order to get someone to pull out the credit card, but it's almost a no-brainer price for someone who's interested in that market. For example, there's a tax attorney by the name of Drew Miles. Well, he's actually an estate planning attorney is kind of his forte. But when he got started in internet marketing, he wanted to generate a large list of small business owners that he could then sell his estate planning services to. But after doing his research online, he found out very quickly that estate planning was the wrong angle. The correct angle was tax savings or tax law. So now he has an entire website set up where he offers a free CD with a shipping and handling charge. And the CD is something to the effect of, tax loopholes of the rich. And so on any number of different search terms that you find out there related to taxes for business, you'll find Drew Miles' site comes up and offers very simple. It's a very nice-looking page. It basically looks just like a sales letter. But at the end it says, hey, we'd really like to send you the CD in the mail. If you'll go ahead and pay us $7 or $6.95 for shipping and handling, we'll ship it out to you. And so they calculate exactly how much it costs them to get those leads. But what's not quite so obvious until you've signed up for the CD is they have a massive back-end operation. Once you sign up for the CD, you'll almost instantly get a phone call from their telesales room, and they'll educate you on other things that they have to offer related to tax savings for small businesses. So there have been literally multi-million-dollar enterprises built on the backs of that simple system of using AdWords to generate traffic to a free CD or a free DVD offer with shipping and handling, and then they go ahead and work the back-end model where they follow up through the phone, through email, through direct mail to make the higher ticket sales.
Kurt, all those models sound really exciting, and I think anybody listening to the call would love the chance to operate a multi-million-dollar business. What's your advice for someone who's looking to get into any of those three models to start out with for the first time?
Well, I would recommend probably starting out with something a little bit on the simpler side. Most likely, probably the ebook model, or just the product model, or the fourth model that we haven't talked about is the affiliate model, where instead of running ads to sell your own products, you run ads to sell other people's products. And for completeness, I guess we could say that there's the fifth model where you're running ads to sell a service of some sort, some service that you can deliver over the internet. on any of those models, the great thing is that quite simply the training and the time that you put into AdWords is going to benefit you immensely once you start doing different campaigns, because you're going to find out that things that work in one topic are going to work just as well in another topic. So once you get some AdWords knowledge behind you, there's really no stopping you in terms of the upper limit of the traffic you can generate and what you can sell on AdWords. As I'm looking at my campaign, at my AdWords account right now, if I click on, let's see, show all campaigns, I'm just looking to see how many different campaigns that I've tested out in the last few months, and it's showing 197 campaigns. So that's 197 different products or services or ebooks that I've attempted to sell in the last little while. Now, obviously, not all of those are profitable. Not all of those were things that we ran with, but it just goes to show you how expandable AdWords is once you start into it. So, that's just a very general overview of kind of the process behind AdWords. If you have some more specific questions, we can go into starting into, well, let's talk about the nuts and bolts. How do you actually get in, and what are the things to avoid in AdWords?
That'd be great, man. It's like what tools you use and then your like daily procedures for what you do would be awesome.
Okay. Well, the first couple things are there's a service out there that got a lot of press, probably a year or two back. And what it is, it's a free way to find out what your competitors are advertising on. Now, for those of you who are kind of beginners into the internet marketing game, that might not seem to be such a big deal. But quite simply, if you can find out what keywords your competitors are advertising on, oftentimes you can figure out things that you most likely wouldn't have figured out on your own. So the original service was called GoogSpy, GoogSpy.com, and it's still up right now. You can go in there and type in Kurt Christensen or Nathan Anderson. You can see who's advertising under our names, things like that. You can type in a URL, and it'll show you keywords that advertiser is bidding on. Well, now the only problem with GoogSpy is their database wasn't very big. So even if you put in, you know, someone that you knew for certain had thousands and thousands of keywords that they were bidding on, GoogSpy might turn up with 20 or 50. So for a long time, that was kind of one of those, you know, just out of reach. You know, a lot of people talked about GoogSpy and how great it was, but it just didn't quite cut the mustard. Well, recently, we found a paid service that kind of delivers on GoogSpy's promise of harvesting all the keywords that your competitors are advertising on, or if you just want to find out who's advertising on a keyword, it goes both ways. It's called KeyCompete.com. KeyCompete.com. And it's a, I think I pay something around like $50 a month for my subscription. But the fantastic thing is anytime where I see a competitor, I can enter in that competitor's URL and they'll tell me every keyword that they advertise on. Granted, it's not perfect, but it's much, much more robust and complete than GoogSpy. So I use KeyCompete. The other keyword tool that I use to find out what keywords to advertise on is a service called loweryourbidprice.com. It's loweryourbidprice.com, lower your bid price. There's tons of other keyword tools out there. I've used wordtracker.com for years. There's also some free tools. If you look up AdWords keyword tools or anything like that, you're going to come up with keyword places like goodkeywords.com and any number of them. But the two that I'd highly recommend that you check out are keywordcompete.com and loweryourbidprice.com. So here's typically how, those are the typical places that we go to build our initial keyword list just to test it out. And when we launch a campaign, when we launch a project, one of the common errors that people make in AdWords is they throw all their keywords into one ad group. So they have, you know, a campaign about, say, strep throat. They generate 2,000 keywords and throw it all into one ad group. Now, the problem with that, well, there's a couple of different problems with that. First of all, Google doesn't like shortcuts. And Google kind of views that as a shortcut. Because the problem is how relevant ads can you create when you threw 2,000 pretty disjointed keywords into one list and you're going to have, you know, test two different ads against each other, but you're going those ads are going to have to cover the whole gamut of everything under the sun for those 2,000 keywords. So the thing what we recommend is when you're starting out an AdWords campaign, always make sure you start out with at least 3 to 5 different ad groups. So, for example, in something like strep throat, it could be one of the ad groups could be strep throat cure. The other one could be strep throat causes. The other one could be strep throat, home remedies for strep throat. You get the idea? And there's things.
Yeah, I get the idea.
There's things inside the lower your bid price tool that makes it easy to divide your huge, massive keyword list into these targeted, smaller sublists that you use for different ad groups. Because inside a campaign or a project, inside of AdWords, you can have as many different ad groups as you want. So it really pays off to separate and to niche those down so that they're much more specific and they're much more targeted.
Kurt, how about knowing where to start your bidding at for the various keywords once you've selected them?
Okay. Typically on the bidding stuff that I do, just to get the campaign rolling, I'll usually start it off at about twice what I really think that I'm going to end up paying for those keywords. So, for example, like a niche site, I'm going to probably try to get the traffic at 10 cents. So I'll start out the bidding at 20 cents. If it's something a little bit more competitive, something in the financial realm or something like that, and I figure that I'll probably end up paying 25 cents a click, well, then I'll start out at 50 cents. The main thing is to once you find your keywords and once you get some decent ads written, is to get it launched just to see what's going to happen. Because the sooner you launch the campaign, the sooner you get some feedback, and the sooner that you can increase your click-through rates. Because what happens on AdWords is the first few days or even weeks that you start a campaign, Google has it throttled down, where it's not going to show your ad all the time. So it's important to get it running, even if it costs you a little bit of money up front, because you're going to benefit from that by testing your way to success, continually refining the ads, testing the ads, split testing against each other as you go. So the caveat on that is an important thing that you want to remember is that you, in the AdWords game, you want to make sure that if you're going to pay for traffic, that you're on the first page. Simply because if you're on the second page, traffic drops off so dramatically that it's going to just make it that much harder to make a project worthwhile. So typically what I tell people is, okay, be willing to spend twice upfront what you think in the long term you're going to end up spending for the keywords, but also make sure that your average rank or the average position that your ad appears in is about 7. Why 7? Simply because 7 is still on the first page, and in an average, that means, you know, half of your ads are going to be above that, half below. So that would mean, in general, most of your ads are going to be on the first page. If you go for position 8, on average, half of your ads are going to be on the second page. So we typically shoot for position number 7 when we start things out to get things rolling.
Great. Once things are rolling, Kurt, what kind of tools or advantages do you have? Do you use on a regular basis to manage your campaigns? You mentioned earlier that you had almost a couple hundred campaigns in the last few months. That can sound overwhelming. Do you use any third-party tools to help manage that?
Yeah, absolutely. one of the most critical things that you can do, and the one that you have the most direct impact over is the ad that you're running for each campaign. Now, a lot of times, the common misconception that people have is they write one ad, launch a campaign, and they never go back and change that ad. That is, you're overpaying dramatically for that campaign, simply because by using simple split testing, you can oftentimes double or triple the click-through rate from any one ad. So what we do is when we launch a campaign, we typically launch it with 3 to 5 ad groups. For each of those ad groups, we'll go in and write 2 different ads. Now, the simple reason for that is we're simply going to split test ad A against ad B to find out which ad gets more clicks. Now, there's a free way to find out when the results are statistically significant and a paid way. I'll share with you the free way first. The free way is you simply go to splittester.com. And what that is it's a statistical analysis tool that tells you when you can really know mathematically that ad A is better than ad B. A lot of times people get in the trap of, oh, okay, well, I've run this ad for, you know, ad A has 1,000 impressions and 10 clicks, and ad B has 1,000 impressions and 9 clicks. And they think, okay, well, ad A is obviously better than ad B. Well, you really don't know that until you run a statistical test called the chi-square test. All the chi-square test is it's determining when you can, you know, with certainty know that one ad is better than another. And if you go to splittester.com, it's a free service that does that for you. Just plug, all you have to do is plug in 4 numbers and hit calculate, and it gives you your answer, whether or not you should go ahead and change one of the ads or if it's too soon to tell. So that's the free way. Now, obviously, you know, even in this example that I mentioned where we have one campaign that has, say, 3 to 5 ad groups, and each of those ad groups has 2 ads, that can be kind of a chore to go in and look at the numbers for all of those every day or every couple days. So a service that we use to do that for us, a third-party service, is called Winner Alert. And all Winner Alert does is it does one thing and does it very well. It uses what's called an API. For those newbies on the call, API just basically means it's a piece of software that talks to Google AdWords. It uses the API to log into your Google AdWords account and get all that data and perform that test for you every day. So then, once it performs the test for every single split test that you have, you know, ad A against ad B, it sends you an email that tells you, okay, you have 27 ads. 3 of them are significant and you need to change them. And then you just click a button, log into your Winner Alert account, change the ad, hit submit, you're done. So in that way, you can basically genetically engineer step by step, increasing the click-through rate of your ad as you go along. Because the faster you can test, the faster you can increase your traffic. Because as you increase your click-through rate on AdWords, Google is going to send you more and more and more traffic simply because they're making more money. Gone are the days when if you wanted to be in position number one, all you had to do is I'm willing to pay $5. Now Google has figured out, okay, well, if you want to be in position number one, you've got to, you know, have a pretty good bid price, but also your click-through rate has to be extremely high. And those two combined together means that you will give you the number one position and all the resulting traffic. So on the AdWords side, that's the two tools that we use. I use the Winner Alert software all the time. There's a couple of other testing softwares out there. One that I also use for AdWords, not as much because it's a little bit more complex, and I like things that are simple and you can run continuously. And this one takes a little bit more hand-holding and management, but it's a piece of software called AdWords Maximizer. And what AdWords Maximizer does is it uses advanced statistics or multivariable statistics to allow you to genetically engineer the best possible AdWords ad that you can come up with. It's a little bit more time to set up. It's a little bit more cut and paste, a little bit more hassle, but that's also an option as well.
And you do use that, Kurt?
Yes, I have used AdWords Maximizer quite a bit. Of the two, I would say that I would, in general, I would use WinAlert simply because it's one of those things that once you set it up, it does most of the work for you and just sends you an email when you need to do something. AdWords Maximizer, you go ahead and set up the ads, but then you have to log back in, to catch up and find out what's happening and then perform your changes that way. So I like things that send me emails when they're ready to be changed.
Sure.
I don't like to have to remember to do that stuff. I just like a daily email that says, okay, here's the three ads you need to go change. Log in.
Well, that's great, too, for if you're using employees or you do any outsourcing.
Yes, absolutely.
For your employees to get that access. I don't know which way you want to head with this, Kurt, because I'm sure you want to talk and cover optimization and tracking on the other side of your ad, on your landing pages and that sort of thing. But you've talked about getting your AdWords campaign rolling. What about taking your AdWords campaign to the next level? How do you really cream the competition?
All right, so we're going to say, okay, we got the basic campaign up and rolling. It's doing something. We don't know whether that's profitable or unprofitable, but we're spending a little bit of money and getting some results. We have our conversion tracking set up, so we'll know down to the penny how much is it costing us to make a sale. And it's often shocking to people how much that can vary from campaign to campaign. A lot of people, when they get into internet marketing, don't realize what a huge difference small things can make. For example, just to give you some personal examples, I'll give you the best and the worst from the last 7 days. I have an ebook on kidney stones. You know, how it's a home remedy for kidney stones, I believe, is the URL. Well, according to Google, it's costing me $11.24 to make a sale of that ebook, which is good because that ebook is a $27 ebook with a $10 upsell. So you could say on average, the average purchase is about $30. So, you know, how many times do I want to do that? Spend $11.24 to make a $30 sale all day long, right?
All day long.
So that's the best one. Well, the worst one from this past week, it's costing me $119.72 to make the sale of an ebook that's on digital photography, which, you know, you think would be a hot topic. You think that'd be easy to sell. But again, that's an ebook that sells for $27 with a $10 upsell. So now all of a sudden, I'm losing money on every sale. So a lot of times when we talk about this testing stuff and how much huge difference small changes can make, people don't really take to heart what a dramatic difference these are. So obviously the digital photography campaign is one that I need to work on, and the kidney stones one is one that I can let roll. So, okay, let's talk about what do you do to take things to the next level. And there's a couple different things that I'd recommend. The first thing that I'd recommend, and for those of you who are watching the course, there'll be complete videos on how to do each of these steps. But one of them is a little measure to combat click fraud. Now, I don't want people to get all nervous about click fraud and concern themselves with it too much, but click fraud is where either a competitor or someone just being malicious or people in foreign countries click on your ad for the sole purpose of costing you money. You know, it sounds pretty heinous, and it is. Now, for the most part, in the markets that we're going to go into, it's not going to be an issue. Now, if you're in the mortgage leads market or, the computer equipment market, I'm sure the click fraud is pretty bad in those markets. But in the markets we're in, it's not really an issue. So one thing that we do to combat that is we have our campaigns automatically shut down during the 3 hours of the day that click fraud is most rampant. Now, because most click fraud is computerized, most of the computer programs that are out there trying to run up people's click costs run in the middle of the night. And they typically run in Pacific time from 12:15 a.m. From 9:45 p.m. to 12:15 a.m. So on Eastern time, that would be 12:45 a.m. to 3:15 in the morning a.m. So on AdWords, the nice thing is I have all my campaigns turn off in the middle of the night. Now, that may seem a little extreme, but we've done some testing on it, and it's pretty surprising. The ad costs go up dramatically in no matter what category you're in the middle of the night, and the resulting sales are pretty small.
And you do that across all your campaigns, Kurt?
I do that across all of my campaigns.
Wow.
So in Pacific time zone, my ads don't show from 9:45 p.m. to 12:15 a.m. Now, what that's done, and I can just give you some rough numbers, what that's done is cut my click cost by about, let's see, I'm trying to think of a good average across them all across the board. I would say it's cut click cost by about 15% across the board. So, on a strep throat campaign, I used to be spending $100 a day. Now I'm spending $85. Now, did sales drop? Here's the funny thing. Sales did not drop at all.
Wow.
Yeah. So, in some cases, sales will probably drop a few dollars. You know, yes, you are still going to have some legit clicks and legit sales in the middle of the night, but not nearly as many as you'd think and not nearly enough to make it worthwhile. So that's the first thing I do is pause your campaigns in the middle of the night. The second thing that I do.
Is that automated, Kurt, before you move?
Yeah, that's automated. You can log into your AdWords account, and on each campaign, they'll have an option that allows you to run the campaigns at specific times. And so all you have to do is go in there and set it up once, and it's done. It just automatically does that. The second thing that I do would be, because we've talked about we're split testing your ads, an easy way to get very high click-throughs on your ads is to use what we call dynamic keyword insertion. Now, dynamic keyword insertion is where you take the keyword that the searcher typed in and you put that somewhere in your ad. Because if you've noticed, when you type in something into Google, whatever you typed in becomes bolded in the ads on the right-hand side in the top of the page. For example, if I type in bronchitis, every ad that has that exact phrase, bronchitis, in it is going to get a bold. Now, what does that do? Well, that increases the click-through rate because bold attracts the eye. It's more visible. It's much easier to see. Plus, the not-so-obvious thing is it is 100% relevant. If all of a sudden, if I type in, for example, let me give you an example. If I type in Salt Lake City hotels and ad A says, we have hotels all over the United States, that's going to get a certain percentage of click-throughs, right? But what if you had ad B said, looking for a Salt Lake hotel, we can get you into any of the 131 hotels in the Salt Lake Valley. So which one's going to get your click? Most likely the second one. Why? Because it's 100% relevant to what you're searching on. So what we do with this little tactic called dynamic keyword insertion is we take whatever the searcher searched for and make that the headline of our ad. So, for example, if you go into Google and type in just the word bronchitis and hit search, about probably looks like right now as of the time we're making this recording, about the third or fourth ad down says bronchitis with a question mark on the end. That's my ad. I just took exactly what I searched for and turned it into the headline of my ad. So now how relevant is that? Well, it's 100% relevant because that's exactly what the searcher searched for. So how do you do that? You do it by there's three different ways to do it, and we'll cover it obviously more in depth in the course, but the easy way to do it is you type in the curly bracket, capital K-E-Y, capital W-O-R-D, colon, then you type in what's called the default text. What happens if a searcher types in, I really have bronchitis and I want it cured right now? Well, that's longer than, the title of your AdWords ad can be, so you can't use that as the title because that's limited to 25 characters. So the default text throws in that text whenever your searcher does a search that's too long. But then you put a bracket, the end bracket, and a question mark. So what that little bit of code inside your ad does is it makes it, on almost anything that they type in, that's going to be the headline of the ad with the question mark on the end. So you can try it also on, let's see, bronchitis cure, and you're gonna find the same thing. Pulls up my ad that says bronchitis cure, question mark, and then the ad says new program cures bronchitis fast, but it will cost $27 guaranteed, and then my URL.
So don't click on that ad, though, when you search that and look at it, though.
unless you want to buy it, that's fine. We're trying to keep click costs down here.
Sorry.
So that's a very, very simple way to dramatically increase your click-through rate. In most cases, you're going to find that increases your click-through rate by about, in most cases, at least 50%.
Wow.
So if you have an ad that's doing 1%, you should be able to boost it to 1.5 by doing that. Okay, so that's one quick and dirty way to optimize your campaign. The second thing is as you run your ads, different keywords are better at converting traffic than other keywords. For example, for MetaWebs for Nathan's site. So say if someone typed in, "I want to buy MetaWebs," into Google, they have a certain percentage chance of converting into a sale. Now, for that particular keyword, it's probably very high because they told you in what they searched for that they're looking to buy. Now, let's say to contrast that to the keyword MetaWeb. Well, those keywords are going to convert at different rates. Right now, we can only suppose, but we suppose that I want to buy MetaWebs is going to convert better. But because we have our conversion tracking turned on, we can find out very quickly what keywords are sending to sales and which keywords are just costing us money. So as you start your AdWords campaign rolling, go into your AdWords campaign, look at your keywords, and once you get a keyword that sends you, it's usually in the neighborhood of 300 to 500 clicks with no sales, you go ahead and delete it. And pat yourself on the back, you just saved yourself some money. It depends on your conversion rate, but for most of you, it's safe if you have about a 1% conversion rate. If you send 300 visitors to a page and it doesn't make a sale, go ahead and delete it. It's not, you know, in the long run, it's just going to suck money out of your pocket. Or the second thing is if you go 300 or 500 clicks and results in just a few sales, well, you're probably going to want to adjust your bid prices for that particular keyword. So that would be the second round is to go through, rewrite your ads using dynamic keyword insertion, and then also make sure that you go through and start deleting keywords that aren't performing, keywords that are not sending you sales.
Well, that's some great information, man. And I suppose beyond that, the other way to reduce cost and increase profits would be to optimize your sales page and do split testing on your headlines and your pricing points and all that.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, we've only covered, you know, on the AdWords side of things, but on the, you know, once you have the traffic, I highly recommend a program called Split Test Accelerator, which does multivariate split testing and Taguchi testing on your sales pages and your opt-in pages. In almost every case, just for the simple, you know, time that it takes up to set up a multivariable test or a split test, you can usually increase your conversion by about 20% on the low side.
Wow.
We've had many of them that increase conversion by 116%, 85%, 75%. So it's very, very powerful. So the split test accelerator, the way that it works, is you can do everything from simple A-B split test, A-B-C-D split test, A-B-C-D-E, all the way on up to where you're testing many, many different variables at once. I typically run a multivariable test where I test 6 different headlines, 3 different backgrounds, 3 different subheads, 3 different superheads, 3 different pictures. You get the idea. And from every time I run one of those tests, I get about a 20% improvement in the conversion rate of the site.
Wow.
That's great.
Well, that's great information, Kurt. And I think that gives us a real good overview of what you're doing. And we're coming up on an hour here, so we should probably call it good for this introduction. But everybody should look for specific audios or instructional videos on these topics in more detail. But thanks very much for giving us this information, Kurt. And do you have any last things to say?
I guess in parting, you know, the real important thing when it comes to ads is to get in there, get your hands dirty, be willing to spend a little bit of money, make a lot of money. Because once you learn the tips and tactics for AdWords, you can apply it to so many different things. You're going to find yourself laying awake at night thinking, okay, you know, what else can I sell on AdWords? You know, what else can I find to promote? You know, because you're going to have these techniques in your tool belt that are so powerful that you can blow your competition away with relative ease.
That's awesome, man. Okay, well, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for taking the time. Bye.
Thanks, Brian.